Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one.
Well, I don't know if we can export Jerry Lee Lewis to China, but I'm sure that Jeff Immelt is working on it. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Beware the government media complex. Now, Eisenhower, of course, was the inspiration for that when he said, beware the military-industrial complex back in the early 50s. I, Michael Savage, gave a speech before the Commonwealth Club that is little known in the world in the year 2000 that was entitled, Beware the Government Media Complex. Little did I know that a day like today would arrive on my doorstep. Back in 2000, when I said beware the government media complex, I already saw a too cozy relationship between the Democrats and the media, but little did I realize it would reach the crescendo that we have now seen. And what am I talking about when I say the crescendo? Well, you don't have to be a genius to understand what I'm talking about, and that is China / Obama / GE / NBC / Comcast / Jeff Immelt. Now, what do I mean by all of that? Well, it's a long story, but very easy to understand. General Electric is a magnificent corporation. It's a magnificent international corporation. General Electric is one of America's finest corporations. General Electric has some of the world's most advanced technology and one of the finest infrastructures of any corporation. And that is good for us. And yet, we saw the announcement on CNBC today, the glowing announcers on CNBC said that there's a green energy deal that was struck between GE and China. All they said was clean energy. Clean energy. But I looked a little more carefully. There was a lot more than clean energy. There's aviation and rail transportation. There's a transfer of technology in avionics. Avionics transfers, supposedly for the Chinese to build their first homegrown big passenger jet. I don't believe a word of it. We know the Chinese are going to use it to develop a homegrown big intercontinental bomber. This is the Loral Space and Technology scam all over again. So you see the CNBC, which is owned by NBC, which is owned by General Electric, which is run by Immelt, reports only what they want you, the idiot, to think they're doing. So they say General Electric agreed to clean energy transfers and work and whatnot with China. Well, that's true, but that's only one part of what they're doing. They're also transferring avionics technology to China, supposedly to help our friends in China develop their first homegrown big passenger jet. And we realize that the joint venture will result in $300 million in exports from Michigan, Florida, and Ohio, and support at least 300 high-tech jobs, it says, in the United States and China. That's according to the GE press release. Really, that's very interesting. Well, let's look into this in a little more detail later on. I think you're getting the drift of what I'm talking about. Beware the government media complex. 3 days ago, the Obama administration approves the merger of Comcast and NBC. 2 days ago, Chinese dictator arrives, and he is feted in the White House by a president who says that he simply has a different economic system than we do. That would be like saying Hitler had a different view of the Jews than the other people in the world did at the time. It's not an understatement. It's a reality of what I'm saying to you. China is a dictatorship. There is no freedom of the press, no freedom of speech, and no voting. Do you understand that? If it doesn't matter to you, then there's no reason for you to listen to the show. Why listen to my show if you don't believe in freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and the vote? If you'd rather see the vote disappear, and press controlled by the government, and the books controlled by the government, and the newspapers controlled by the government, then turn the show off. Because you're not going to like a word that I say on the Savage Nation today, tomorrow, or tomorrow, or tomorrow, or tomorrow. All I can say to you is this. We learned yesterday that on top of all of this, who's appointed to be in the Economic Council of Advisors? None other than the former head or the current head or the last head or tomorrow's head of General Electric, Jeff Immelt. He's now in the White House. So you say, well, why would a guy want to give up a job at GE to go to work in the White House? It's very easy, schmuck. It's the same reason that the gentleman who ran the Treasury Department for George Bush left the job at Goldman Sachs to run the Treasury Department. You can't put two and two together? He did it for the salary, right? He took a cut in pay that was about 1,000-fold less per day. Maybe 100,000-fold per year less. Maybe 1,000,000 less fold. I don't know how much he makes. Why would Paulson have taken a job, leave Goldman Sachs, and go to work to run the Treasury Department? A, so he can put his competitors out of business, which he did. He put his competitors out of business. B, to advance his friends, which he did. And C, to get away with it and disappear into the woodwork after Bush went to sleep and did a book tour. Same thing with Immelt. Why would Immelt take a job running some Council of Economic Advisors for Obama? It's very simple. Because now when General Electric wants to transfer technology to China, it has to go to Jeffrey Immelt, who's now in the government, who says, yes, rubber stamp, send it over there. Supercomputers, no problem. Avionics, no problem. Any technology we have that we developed here in the United States of America, either with or for the military, you want to sell it to China? Well, it has to go through the government. Who's the government? Me. Jeff Immelt. I worked for GE yesterday. Today I worked for the government. Beware the government media complex. Michael Savage, the year 2000. And what did I say in the year 2000? I'm not going to read you the story now, but I'm going to play you some of the speech later on in the show. It's a short speech. It's a seminal speech. It's probably a very important speech. Only posterity will tell if we still have freedom of speech. Long after I'm gone, somebody may say this guy was really ahead of his time. Wow, that's a seminal speech, Michael Savage, this talk show host. Way back in the ancient days of the year 2000, Michael said, beware the government media complex. Now, I have a few other details for you. I'm warming you up with rock and roll and this and that, but I got to get you something else. And here it is. I was sitting on the John this morning reading a magazine that I get because I'm a member of the Navy League. And I like to read magazines when I'm concentrating, either boat magazines or flying magazines or car magazines. And I'm a member of the Navy League. That's a civilian arm of people who are interested in things Navy, right? So I get a magazine that they put out called Sea Power. It just happened to arrive yesterday, January 2011, Navy League of the United States, Sea Power 2011 Almanac. And I love the U.S. Navy. I open it up and I said, this can't be true. They list every naval ship that we have in our fleet by name, by size, the number of personnel, the displacement, the length, the beam, the flight deck, the speed, the power plant, the number of aircraft, the armament it has, the builder of it, the home port of it. And I said, this can't be true because this used to be classified information. I said, what would an enemy do to get their hands on this Navy League book? It shows you every ship in the fleet, every support ship in the fleet. It gives you the name of the admirals. It does not yet give their children's soccer league names or where their children go to school. But it tells us where our guided missile submarines are. It tells you where the attack submarines are. It tells you where the destroyers are and what their armament is. It tells you everything you need to know about the U.S. Navy, with pictures, by the way, in about 150 glossy pages. And it's for free. And it's given out by the U.S. Navy League. And in the past, a foreign government, meaning us harm, would have probably had to to plant spies all over the country to get this information. But now, because we have slime in the government and slime in the media and slime at the top of the corporate chain, we have absolutely no faith left in any of our intelligence. We have no faith left in any of our security issues. And let me ask you something else. Who was the guy who was found dead in a landfill 3 weeks ago? Do you remember his name? He was chief of cybersecurity for the U.S. Air Force. The man wound up in a landfill. He was smeared by the vermin in the media, and you forgot the story. Why? Because the government media complex told the schmucks who work in the media not to follow up that story. Instead, report about rapes in Hollywood. Instead, report about bagel store robberies in Brooklyn. Instead, report about anything except the important things. I'll be right back. Beware the government media complex. Beware the government media complex. So let us begin with clip one, and we'll tell you what it means on the Savage Nation.
It really is an honor to welcome you here today and introduce President Obama. I've had the honor to work with the President and with Valerie Chair and Amasa Goolsbee on the advisory board as we've gone through the economic crisis. I'm now honored to lead your Council on Competitiveness and Jobs. It's a great honor. And I know...
All right, that's President of GE, now a government employee, Jeffrey Immelt, speaking at a GE turbine plant in Schenectady, New York. They make fabulous engines. I was on a plane coming back from Florida the other day. It was an old Challenger 601, and the pilot said to me, these engines are GE engines, and it's the same engines that are used, he said, on the Skyhawk. He said, these engines are fundamentally bulletproof. There's been millions of hours, he said, of use of these engines in the military. They're fabulous engines, and we love them. And I said, that is so good to know. I said, Skyhawk engines, military technology, now used on jets in America, et cetera. And I say, well, really, when will China be getting the technology on our latest supercomputers and our latest turbine technology? And little do I know, I pick up the news, and I see that in addition to the clean energy that the girls on CNBC reported, Mr. Immelt announced a joint venture between GE Aviation and Aviation Industry Corporation of China to develop and market the new generation of avionics systems with an immediate priority on supporting development of China's first homegrown big passenger jet. Didn't I tell you yesterday that they don't just buy products, they make you give them the technology in order for them to buy that plane or whatever it is you're selling them, you got to give them the blueprints. It's all over. It's the Loral deal all over again. A letter of intent signed by GE Transportation with the Ministry of Railways China to provide $350 million worth of U.S.-built locomotives, locomotive sub-assembly kits, service support, and signaling systems for China's railway upgrade. Well, you say, what's wrong with selling them trains? Well, right now, nothing. But I remember in the 1930s, I read that the Ford Motor Company sold truck factories to Hitler, and there was a big outcry against it. There still is some memory of this amongst liberals who have never forgiven the U.S. government for selling such technology to Germany. But you don't hear one word from the liberals today about selling the technology to a dictatorship in China. So, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many problems right now. It's hard to know if we could ever solve them. And the reason is because there's been a meltdown of honor and loyalty and patriotism at the highest levels of the corporate world. I don't know how else to put it. I really don't know how else to put it. There seems to be no honor amongst thieves, and there seems to be little loyalty amongst corporate presidents or CEOs. And the revolving door between major corporations and the U.S. government is extremely dangerous, as you can see by the meltdown of our economy brought about by some shady characters who I named in trickle-up poverty, some of whom worked for the government, who prior to their work for Bush had worked for some of the major investment banks. And it's unbelievable to me that there's been no investigation of the former Treasury Secretary. Just as I think there should be a congressional hearing right now on Immelt being appointed to the Council on Economic Advisors. It stinks. 2 days ago, 3 days ago, the Obama administration approves the merger of Comcast NBC. 2 days ago, who arrives from China? Yesterday, we hear Immelt's going into the government. And tomorrow, we'll read that GE is allowed to sell advanced technology to China because he approved it. Where's the government? Where's the oversight? Okay, let's take some calls. Albany, New York. Stan, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that you're absolutely right about the point you're making about GE. They have a fantastic spin program for the outside, but they also spin it on the inside. You could see everything that you're saying. We saw it 2 years ago from the inside. I'm a former employee, and you could see the marriage starting to take place between ML and Obama. I no longer work at GE, but they spun everything that was coming through, internal documentation, internal PR letters, internal GE newsletters. It's exactly
right.
What...
So when I said beware the government media complex, at the time I wrote it and gave the speech in the year 2000, it was about Bill Clinton, but it's never reached... It's now at a point of almost no return between General Electric, NBC, and MSNBC. Of course, these are nothing but paid prostitutes to trumpet the government's line on virtually everything and attack anybody who was onto the government. You notice that anybody who is onto what this corrupt administration is doing or wants to do is immediately attacked by the prostitutes on MSNBC. Thank you for the call. New York, WOR, Ben, welcome to the program.
Hello. This item that you bring up about the Navy League, you shouldn't worry, Michael. The Navy League has glossy pictures, but they're far more technical publications that are out there for public view that you can get at the public library. Jane's Fighting Ships, for instance.
Oh, no, no, I know. Ben, listen, believe me, I'm aware of Jane's, and I think that there's a problem with the, let us say, we live in a free society, and I don't believe in censorship, but I do believe in censoring national security information. There's a little difference, Ben.
There's a difference between what we refer to as operational security and things that are technologically known by people who have half a brain.
Okay, but let me give you an example. Here I have this magazine in my hand. Military Sealift Command Ships, Naval Fleet Auxiliary Force, Combat Store Ships, Ammunition Ships. It says the Kilauea class, and it names the ships where they are headquartered. 41,000 tons, 689 feet, 20 knots, range, 14,000 miles, power plant, cargo capacity, crew, 124 civilians, 11 Navy, and when needed, a helicopter, builder, General Dynamics, areas of operation. They tell you where the ships are located.
Savage.
Eddie, my love, I love you so. I want it for you. Please, Eddie.
Jeff, thank you for the outstanding introduction, and thank you, GE. It is great to be here. I just had a chance to see some of the high-tech steam turbines and all kinds of fancy stuff that's being made here, being manufactured here at this plant. And it is unbelievably impressive. And it's part of a proud tradition, because GE has been producing turbines and generators here in Schenectady for more than a century.
That's right. And how much longer they'll be producing them in Schenectady is a matter of up to, you know, who. Now, what's getting interesting here is the next clip six. Listen to this one.
I'm assembling a new group of business leaders and outside advisors. And I am so proud and pleased that Jeff has agreed to chair this panel, my council on jobs and competitiveness, because we think GE has something to teach businesses all across America.
Sure, how to become more efficient in transferring technology to their bosses in China. Now, there's no one better to advise the White House, in my opinion, on economic ideas. From a pure business perspective, it's hard to imagine someone who knows more about managing a business and staying competitive than the CEO of GE. So that's a good thing, right? However, did you know that Immelt will stay on as CEO of GE while he works as the council head? Do you not fear the coziness between big business and Obama? Do you not fear the coziness between big business, big media, and Obama? There's no business that I can think of that's much bigger than GE. There's no question that Immelt will use this role to the advantage of General Electric and MSNBC and NBC. So there's a conflict of interest. There are many different things that he could do while he's on the Council of Economic Advisors, if that is what he's going to be doing. We know that the President's Economic Recovery Advisory Board is being shuttered as Fed Chief Paul Volcker, who chaired the board, steps down, because apparently the financial crisis is now officially over. Apparently it's over. Somehow it's over. I don't know. Do you think that Immelt should be trusted? Do you think any man can be trusted without any oversight? Do you think that Jeff Immelt will disregard his own company's interests in favor of the interests of the American people? I don't know. We have to ask ourselves, what man is above temptation? In an event in the year 2009 conducted by Wired, Jeff Immelt explained his philosophy, saying that the U.S., quote, "It's never been a free market. It's never going to be a free market. That's just the way it is." And he went on to say, "The fact that I'd like GE to work in concert with where government policy is in the U.S. doesn't mean that I'm a traitor or a bad guy. I think it's just being practical that that's got to happen." That's interesting. So now the government media industrial complex is in full force. So how do we ensure ourselves that Jeff Immelt's influence does not unjustly benefit General Electric? Which unto itself doesn't bother me. I wouldn't care if it benefited General Electric. I'm far more concerned about Mr. Immelt approving the transfer of avionics technology to China and transferring other technologies to China, which could be used against us. I am a student of history. In the 1930s, New York City had what was an elevated railway system on Third Avenue. It was taken down in order to modernized New York City. It was made of steel. The girders, the beams, the tracks were bought by Japan. There were those who were saying, wait, Japan is becoming militant, militaristic. Japan is rearming. We shouldn't sell them the steel. They were smeared. They were called every name under the sun, nativists, you name it. Sure enough, the Third Avenue L was melted down by the Japanese and turned into bullets and bombs and tanks and planes and bayonets that stabbed and killed and bombed our boys in World War II. Should we be concerned about China with regard to a future war? Only a fool would not be concerned about a China with regard to a potential future war. Why do I say only a fool would not be concerned? Because if you actually read what the Chinese generals are writing in their own military publications, you'll realize that I am actually acting as Paul Revere right now, rather than as a right-wing harpy who is simply trying to alarm the nation. Tom in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Good day to you, Michael. May the God of our Bible continue to guide you. Michael, we have the triple play in baseball. I see this as potentially the triple pay, the triple payoff. It's all about the merger of a hemorrhage with a cash cow. We're hemorrhaging money. We can't pay China, so we'll throw them some technology. NBC is hemorrhaging money because they hire that hit in the head with the hardball, Chris Matthews. So we merge them with Comcast. This is a big payoff, Michael. It was a big broker deal after that.
Correct. Comcast is approved to merge with NBC. The next day, China. The next day, Immelt to the government. And tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, I want a congressional hearing on Immelt's appointment to the Council on Economic Advisers, if that is what they are calling it. I believe that we are entitled to such a hearing, don't you?
Yes. And
yes, all right. I got a headache already from it. It's too much. I think if I were driving around in a car on the East Coast on a Friday night and I was listening to me, I'd say, you know, this guy is smart. The guy knows what he's talking about. But you know what? I just want to have a good time tonight. I just want to go where I'm going. I just want to go out on a date. I want to kiss somebody. I want to dance with somebody. I want to have a couple of drinks. I want to hear some loud music. I want to go to a dinner. I don't want to hear this anymore. I don't want to listen to this, because what can I do about it? The average person is saying, what can I do about it? Well, you know, I would say you're right, but you're wrong. And the reason you're wrong is because I awakened you over the last year or two. You voted 100 Democrat socialists out of office. You threw them out. Unfortunately, none of the left-wing socialists, none of the socialists in the Senate were up for vote. And so we're still stuck with a socialist Democrat Senate, where everything that is done in the House of Representatives is nullified by the Democrat socialists who will continue to plague us until the next election. But we have to wait for the next election, don't we? Otherwise, we'll be accused of stirring up the masses to violence, which, of course, I have never and would never do, because violence never solves problems, except when you are facing death yourself. And we have talked about that. I am not a pacifist. Under any condition, I am not a pacifist. I am a peaceful man personally. I avoid, you don't know this, I avoid conflict when I'm off the air. I rarely speak outside of my house. If I do, I speak quietly. The only time anyone ever hears from me is on the radio, except in my own kitchen. And that is because I'm a very careful man, a cautious man, a quiet man, a peaceful man. The fact of the matter is we live in a free country and most people are not blessed with a microphone. I am. And so if I'm sitting in a restaurant and some loud drunk on two glasses of cheap wine is mouthing off about Obama, how wonderful he is, you know what? I don't say a word. All I say to myself is he doesn't have the blessings of a microphone. He's out and he's going to torture everyone around him with his 2 cents because he's free to do it. If you don't like it, just cut the meal off, pay the bill, and leave. Or do what you did last night, buy a chicken from Safeway, and heat up some roasted French fries and watch television with your dog. It was the best meal I've had in months, which was a chicken for $6 or $7 from Safeway. I'll tell you the truth, and you go in an Asian restaurant, look what they carry on, $12.95, shreds of chicken, pieces of little chicken. I don't understand this anymore. And then you got to bow down every time. You ever see that? The liberals bowing down with their hands in front of a napkin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're all Buddhists, instant Buddhists. Just give them a napkin and they're already converted to Buddhism. Give them a chopstick. They don't know what to do next. That's why I say, you know, at the end of the day, you got to relax and you got to let it go. So you want me to let it go? I'll just drop the stentorian release here and we'll go on with the silliness if that's what you prefer. We'll do what NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, and all the others do every day of the week. We'll entertain you. We'll entertain you. Because a lot of good my book, Trickle Up Poverty, did. Yes, I think it had a lot to do with the election. I would take some credit for it. But my greatest disappointment is that you didn't listen to me in the chapter on the military and our national security and what Obama was doing to our military and the national security. It really hurts me to believe that this man could get away with what he's doing to our troops, drugging our troops so they're almost incapable of fighting, what he's doing to the nuclear posture review, what he did with the START Treaty. I couldn't believe that he got away with this without a hearing on the START Treaty. What he did to NASA, I couldn't believe. And how we've gone from leathernecks to rubberneckers. I wrote America's War on the Military and America's National Defense continues to defy logic. And I tell you some stories about it. But I don't want to read them to you now. I'm really not in the mood, nor do I think anybody on a Friday afternoon would want to hear it. Truthfully, I wrote Big Brother is not watching and Big Sis is amiss. Big Sis is amiss. The most incompetent chairman of the Department of Homeland Security in history, not fired. She's failed to stop virtually 5 or 6 major events, and yet she's still in her job. It's worse than you think, and it's going to get worse yet. Now, why do I say beware the government media complex? Because without a media to bark at the government will become increasingly powerful and increasingly self-serving, as we see on a federal, state, and local level. They award themselves pensions that nobody can afford to pay. I told you this was coming. I told you last year, all you cops and firemen who love me so much, I don't care what you think of me, I told you you're going to have to take a beating on your pensions. They're unaffordable. During the flush times, the unions gouged the taxpayers and got you pensions that no one can pay. Don't get mad at me. You ain't collecting those pensions. You're just not going to collect those big fat fireman pensions for the bacon and eggs you've eaten for 30 years. You're just not getting those pensions. They ain't happening because no one could pay for them. And what's going to happen when the states go bankrupt? What do you think's going to happen then? They're going to turn it over to the federal government. All of the lawyers will come out of the worst law schools in America, and they're going to sue on behalf of the unions and the pensions. They're going to say, you owe it to us. You signed the contract, and we're going to sue. And what do you think the states are going to do? They're going to say, well, go ahead and sue. We have no money. And then what's going to happen then? What's going to happen then is that these big, fat 120% pensions are going to have to come down to reality. And no one's going to have that kind of pension anymore. Those days are over. Now, that's a little off the topic. Beware the government media complex. None of this will be reported in the media. any more than the transfer of technology by General Electric is being reported in the media, any more than the transfer of technology by Loral Space and Technology way back when under Bill Clinton was really reported in the media, any more than Mr. Wheeler's corpse being found in a dumpster in Washington is even remembered by the idiots in the media anymore. George in Stamford, Connecticut, why should I give a darn? Why should I work myself up and dig myself closer to the grave every day, George? Why should I do it?
Oh, my God. I read things in Asia. I lived in Asia many years, and it just drove me nuts that they would say how they're going to destroy America, how they're going to use our own weapons and things and our own technology against us. You sit next to these SOBs, and they don't think you know the language, and they're talking about you like stinking foreigners and things like that. I mean, when the heck are we going to wake up, for Christ's sakes? And I don't blame all the Chinese people, because most of them hate their government, too. If we use their own desire for freedom, we could tear them apart from the inside. But instead, we're supporting this dictatorship so they can suppress their own people and then be a weapon against us and their own people.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, when a reporter asked Obama the other day, I don't know if you heard the clip yesterday, how can you do business with a country that has such a bad human rights record? Did you hear that interchange on my show yesterday, George?
Briefly, on one of the other networks, I didn't have a chance to listen to
George, yesterday. You will not believe what the answer was from Obama. Phil, can you find that one if you can? Let me know the minute you have it, because it's astounding. A reporter, I don't know who he was, has the guts to ask Obama, while Mr. Hu is there, how can you do business and how can you be so glowingly supportive of a government that is such a dictatorship? Wait till you hear what Obama says. I don't want to even say it. You got to listen to this to realize the trouble we are in. But listen to this, George, and everyone else. Listen.
President Obama, you've covered the broad scope of this relationship, but I'd like to follow up specifically on your comments about human rights. Can you explain to the American people how the United States can be so allied with a country that is known for treating its people so poorly, for using censorship and force to repress its people? Do you have any confidence that as a result of this visit that will change?
China has a different political system than we do.
Manchurian candidate, like a brainwashed tool of the Chinese communists is how I heard that, George. Would you disagree with me?
Not at all. And I, you know, the reason why they don't want to say anything about that, because they're all on first online when the Falun Gong gets their kidneys ripped out and they need a kidney or they need some other body part. So, of course, they're not going to say anything about these people.
George, were you living in China? Do you speak Mandarin?
I read a Chinese, but I spent most of my time in Japan and Southeast Asia. So, I mean, I have a reading knowledge and I can speak some Chinese, but it's gotten rusty because it's been 20 years since I've been out of the language. But I was,
well, the Chinese generals have their own world, and they publish their own missives against the United States on a regular basis, and they are very open about colonizing the United States of America step by step. That's the word that they use, that they're colonizing America, they're using our technology, and eventually they will dominate us and we'll be unable to fire a shot. In fact, they're practicing an ancient art of conquest without firing a shot, George. Who is the philosopher of war that I'm referring to? I'll bet you know the answer.
Sun Tzu.
Bingo. Sun Tzu said that the mark of the greatest general is he who conquers the enemy without firing a shot. And we are seeing the conquering of America without them firing a shot. How much further do you have to go than the Stepford wife that we have in the Defense Department who goes over to China and acts like a dummy and says, gee, I didn't even know that they had a stealth fighter? Or a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who has a very nice voice and does not permit our men to fire a shot, more or less, on a regular basis? When have you last seen us fire at a Somali pirate? 2 years ago? A year ago? It took the South Korean special forces to kill the pirates. Why are we not unleashing our military on the pirates? Because Obama and his Stepford wives in the military don't want them to, for fear that it will cost them 10 cents with the Islamic fascists. I'll be back.
Savage.
All right, so there were protesters outside China's the dinner for the dictator of China. You wouldn't know it from the government media complex. This was basically hushed up. And we don't hear anything from the gerbil man about Tibet. It's interesting to me that when Bush was in power and Nixon was in power, all we heard was Tibet this, Tibet that, free Tibet. All the liberals in every county of every liberal county in America, free Tibet. Where are the free Tibet signs now that Obama, the communist, is in power? I have not seen one free Tibet bumper sticker in about a year. Where'd they all go? And where are all the anti-war liars now that the communist in chief is in power? All we heard about was out of Iraq, end the war now, stop the war now. One pinko woman after another was throwing herself in front of a Carvel stand. They were screaming. They were hysterical when we were in Iraq. Obama ratchets up the war in Afghanistan and suddenly there's no anti-war movement. The answer is because there never was an anti-war movement. It was an anti-Republican movement. It wasn't even an anti-Bush movement. You could even argue it wasn't even an anti-Republican movement. It was a pro-communist movement, as the anti-war movements in America have almost always been, going back at least 50 years. They're not anti-war. They're pro-communist. Don't you understand who was behind most of the anti-war movements in this country? It's outright naked anti-American communists. That's why you see almost no coverage of Hu Jintao's dictatorship. That's why you see very little coverage of South America. That's why you see virtually no coverage of any of the communist dictatorships that are around the world. It's because it never was about the war. It never was about the war. It wasn't about bombs. It was about getting rid of freedom. And so the next time you hear someone screaming anti-war, you'll know that they're Chinese in China who see what's coming.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Assembling a new group of business leaders and outside advisors. And I am so proud and pleased that Jeff has agreed to chair this panel, my council on jobs and competitiveness, because we think GE has something to teach businesses all across America.
Jeff, beware the government media complex. The sea of love. The sea of love continues to spread across the seas. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Well, here we are. So now Jeff Immelt of GE will hold two jobs. One running General Electric. Great company. Great products. And then advising the government on, I guess, on jobs and things of that nature. And how to transfer technology to China without getting caught. How to transfer avionics technology to China without going to jail. How to transfer turbine technology to China without being called traitor. How to transfer supercomputers to China without being called names. This is good. This is how it works. That's why Michael Savage is never heard from on NBC, MSNBC, Fox, ABC, or CBS, because fundamentally, if you take all the letters and put them together, it's one media complex. It really doesn't matter who the owner is. It's one cozy little group. If you mixed up the letters ABC, CBS, NBC, FOX, MSNBC, CNBC, and put them into a hat, and then played Scrabble with the letters, you know what you'd come up with? You'd come up with this, government media complex. So what do you want me to do, eat my heart out? I'd rather save elephants. What, you know, at the end of the day, one of the proudest things I've ever done is given a little money to a group, the International Fund for Animal Welfare, a couple of years ago. Not a lot of money. And they saved a herd of elephants by moving them from Uganda to another country and saved them, and they killed some poachers. I would like to fund an entire team of machine gun toting anti-poachers. I'd like to fund an army by their toes. IFAW supported anti-poaching team apprehends notorious elephant poacher. The poacher was arrested in Tsavo East National Park and was part of a six-man gang that had been sought by Tsavo security staff for a month. IFAW has now trained almost 1,000 officers on how to prevent illegal wildlife trade in smuggling hotspots throughout the Middle East, Caribbean, Oceania, Africa, and Russia. So there are little things you can do on Earth. You can save dogs. You can save elephants. You can save dolphins. You can save leopards. You can save whales. You can save grizzly bears. You can save a rhino calf. You can save seals from the hunters, mainly the Eskimos who love to kill seals and whales. I guess they're called Inuits now. You can save and use them in various potions. Viagra's not good enough for them. Or you can even save falcons if you'd like. So there are good people on the earth, and they could sit and eat their heart out every day of the week, and they could take a pill and say there's nothing we could do, it's all over. Or they can get up every day and they could drink a cup of coffee or whatever they drink, and they go out and save elephants and whales. And then they know at night that they did something useful, because our little and our big animal friends deserve our care. So you can do something. You can do something. You can do a lot of things in this world. You don't have to just sit here and complain, and you don't have to sit here and worry why you aren't invited to a party in Hollywood by Steven Spielberg or whatever. You can read these newspapers, and you can lose your mind thinking you're missing out on something. What are you missing out on? What are you missing out on? A white shirt and tie? A tight pair of shoes? Why, you can't buy yourself a drink? It's nice to meet famous people. It's nice to be somewhat of a celebrity. And at the end of the day, what does it actually mean? Just what your mother told you. Whatever your mother told you about it all was 100% right. And I can't use the exact words my mother used because they're not family friendly. When I would look at some of the famous actors or actresses when I was a kid and be depressed because I had to ride the Q44A to go to a second job or go to Queens College, I was really depressed. I said, how am I ever going to wind up anywhere in this world? I can't get anywhere. I come from poor people and I'm not that driven. Maybe I'm not even that smart. I'm going to wind up on a stinking bus or a subway car the rest of my life. And my mother would say to me certain things about the very rich and the very famous that were absolutely true at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's all true. We're all born unto the same star, to the same sky, and we die under the same sky. In the big sweep of things, philosophically, in that sense, Gandhi was right. Is that depressing? Should it mean that you should not compete? Not want to win the triathlete contest, not compete in a hot dog eating contest, not compete in an apple pie eating contest, not compete in a bake-off, not compete in a meatloaf making contest, not compete in a radio contest, not compete in the internet run, not compete in the shoemaker's design, not compete in the nail cutting design. Does it mean you shouldn't compete in the lip gloss design? Does it mean you shouldn't compete for the best novel of the year? It doesn't mean any of that. But in the long sweep of history in your own life, it doesn't mean a darn thing. At the end of the day, your teeth are going to fall out. Your hair is going to slowly fall out. No matter what exercise you do, you're going to get weak and you're going to fall apart. That's if you live long enough to have the pleasure of seeing your body fall apart. If, on the other hand, you're one of the lucky ones and you die at 29 or 30, well, then you don't get to see your hair falling out, your teeth falling out, your joints breaking down, and your entire soul collapsing from within. But that's the way it is. And that's why some are, and some are not what they are. And that's why some will always use drugs and some will never use drugs. And that's why I wrote when I was 15, those who know will always know and those who don't will never. So if you'd rather talk about why we don't have barbs on our berries anymore in the United States of America and who exactly has snipped the barbs off our berries and what we can do about it, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. And just as I'm speaking to you, in comes my dog Teddy to shake his little collar and look at me and say, but Dad, knock it off. It's Friday afternoon. Don't you realize it's early evening on the East Coast and people have things better to do than worry about who, Jean, to to worry about GE and Jeff Immelt, to worry about the transfer of avionics technology to China, Dad? I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care that China's building a big bomber, excuse me, a big passenger plane with the avionics transferred by Jeff Immelt, Dad. It doesn't matter to me because I'm only going to live another 5 years, he says to me with the little collar shaking on his neck. York, Pennsylvania. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Savage. You know, as I've been listening to your show tonight, I think you're absolutely correct that the government media complex is engaged fully. My thing is that I really believe that they have us looking in the wrong place, though. They have us looking at what's going on in China, and I think China's getting a payoff, and I think NBC's getting a payoff, and I think GE's getting a payoff. And there just seems to be all these little things of misinformation that keeps getting fed out here to the public.
Well, of course they're getting a payoff. If GE is allowed to transfer technology that shouldn't be transferred, and it's sold as something good for American jobs by Obama and Jeff Immelt, of course it's considered a payoff, but it should absolutely be investigated before the technology is transferred. I mean, I studied the deals that GE is going to do with China. Obama and MSNBC and CNBC says that it's all about green jobs. But there's another joint venture between GE Aviation and China that will transfer the avionics systems that GE developed partly with government contracts to China, supposedly to help them develop a homegrown big passenger jet. But I don't believe that's where it's going to end up. Do you?
I agree with you 100%. And I'm going to tell you why. I happen to believe that what's going on with China is just smoke and mirrors. And the biggest reason I believe this, and I finally became convinced of it, was...
Wait a minute. What do you mean what's going on with GE in China? So what's the big... Where's the big story?
Well, the big story, I think, is in the transfer of wealth that's going out of this country back over to the Middle East with the manipulation of the dollar. And I think China is helping them do that. They've almost become like a money laundering center.
Yeah, but that's not the... look, the transfer of wealth to the Arabs for oil is a well-established fact. We understand that. The solutions are pretty clear. Build more nuclear plants, do slope drilling in Alaska, drill offshore, make the energy, make machines more efficient. So there are solutions. The problem is that none of these solutions are acceptable to the radical left because they don't want solutions. They want to cripple us and continue to have us beholden to the foreign powers. But what's the point of talking about day in and day out and day out and day in? What the bottom line is that states are going to go bankrupt. You take a look at the state of California. You realize that Schwarzenegger was a shill. He never was a serious governor. He never did it for the money. He did it for the power. He even admits he was addicted to the power. All right, he's not the only one to take a job like that for the power. I don't understand it myself because I'm a different type of personality. I don't like getting dressed up every day with a suit and tie. I don't like sitting in a room and having people kowtow to me. I could do without it. I'd rather buy a chicken in Safeway and heat up the oven and put in some pre-made French fries and then heat up some green peas and watch television than I would rather sit at a dinner. Once in a while, I like to do the suit and tie and have the drink and march around and get the appetizer and hobnob. It's fun. Every couple of months I could do that. Then there are those who do it three times a day. How they do it, I don't know. Why they do it, I don't know. What they get out of it, what kind of ego gratification they get out of it, I don't really know. But each man is different, and it's a world that I don't truly crave. I don't really want that world. But some do, and they're entitled to it. But okay, that's not the issue. What is the issue? The issue is whether or not we're going to survive as a nation. In plain English, just in plain English, what the heck do you think radio, talk radio, is all about? Why is it that millions of people tune into the top five radio shows, of which I'm number three? Why? There's a reason for it. You have other options for right now. You can be listening to music, listening to nothing, or playing with an iPod, whatever you're doing, or not listen to media at all and just talking to somebody. But you've chosen to listen to Michael Savage and the Savage Nation, as many of you do every night, religiously. Why are you listening? You're listening because you're worried, in plain English. Are you worried because you're paranoid and there's nothing to worry about? only because we on the right are trying to steam you up with worries about Islamofascism and about Chinese growing militarism, about China holding our debt, about China manipulating the currency, about the Quislings in the government media complex who continue to hide everything. Are you really worried about those things? Are you worried about those things because they're real worries or because we've steamed you up into worrying about them? Ah, that is the question, and I shall be back to answer it.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling. It's twilight time.
I'm singing to my dog. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Should it become illegal to tell the truth on the radio, I'll just become a crooner. And I'll perform at various weddings and such. I'll get the tuxedo. I'll go out every night. I'll still have a good time. I'll just become a singer. So the dawn, or shall I say the dam, D-A-M, of silence, is cracking. The dam of silence is cracking. But old media hacks and hackettes are still applying their journalistic bondo with the excitement of fruit flies dancing on a rotting tomato. I wrote that in the year 2000 in the conclusion of my speech, Beware the Government Media Complex. In the year 2000, I gave it before the Commonwealth Club. Little did I know there would be a joint venture between China, Obama, NBC, you name it, Comcast, you name it, Chicago. I mean, just jumble all the letters up in the Scrabble game called the Government Media Complex and listen to what I said in 2000.
Beware the Government Media Complex. I hope to prove to you over the next period of time that perhaps never before in American history has there been so cozy a relationship. And this, by the way, transcends right or left, has nothing to do with race, has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with press freedom. And I want to state that from the outset. I believe that today we have a relationship that is too cozy between government and media. Many of the speeches that are given before the Commonwealth Club, many of them, are picked up and rebroadcast by the local NPR radio station. Do you see any NPR people here? No. Many of the speeches given before the Commonwealth Club are transmitted on C-SPAN, which is paid for by the cable companies. Do you see any C-SPAN cameras here? Beware the government media complex. You know, the media, ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, is needed by you and by me, by the public, very badly needed, to be and to remain a thorn in the side of the government. In order to keep the government relatively honest, you need a media that's constantly poking at them. However, when the media instead becomes a thorn in the side of the skeptical private citizen, the media then becomes an arm of the government. Beware the government media complex. When agitators for the homeless riot, when they burn trash cans, they break the law, but they're held up as freedom fighters for the poor by the left-leaning press. But if one compassionate conservative dares to speak out, he's condemned to the gulag of media silence, the gulag of media exile. This startling bias in the media is more threatening to the pillars of our republic than even the most ardent conservative might believe. It is censorship by default as well. What do I mean by censorship by default? Where the commercial interests of the media moguls are so intertwined with government policy as to create an overly friendly image of government officials and their policies. So it may not be as clear as a conspiracy to bias the news, but it comes out to be the same thing anyway. Now, this
right
bias
here. You're listening to my speech from the year 2000. I haven't heard it in many years. It's really brilliant. And I'd like to, you know, not chop it up here at the end of this particular stop set. But I said where the commercial interests of the media moguls are so intertwined with government policy as to create an overly friendly image of government officials and their policies. I am talking about what just happened between Comcast, NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, Jeff Immelt, General Electric, China, you name it. Beware the government media complex. When I come back, I'll replay the last minute of the speech I gave in the year 2000, one of my proudest moments.
Savage. We'll be right back.
Now, this bias is not limited to the left. It is largely a product of left-wing bias when it comes to certain social issues, such as affirmative action or gay rights. But the right also biases the news when it wants to shade fiscal issues to their benefit. I first began this file on the government media complex about 3 years ago. I noticed an alarming bias occurring, and I knew that without correction, this could sink the ship of truth. Now, surely other administrations have had their friends in high media places, but still, there were many voices and many views of dissent which found their way into the national media. But now we have a growing media blackout of some serious crimes and misdemeanors, all unsolved to the satisfaction of those with critical powers of reason. We know about these events because the dam of silence has cracked. But owned media hacks and hackettes apply their journalistic bondo with the excitement of fruit flies dancing on a rotting tomato. And who has paid for their crimes and misdemeanors? And who is being blackmailed?
I'm assembling a new group of business leaders and outside advisors. And I am so proud and pleased that Jeff has agreed to chair this panel, my council on jobs and competitiveness, because we think GE has something to teach businesses all across America.
It really is an honor to welcome you here today and introduce President Obama. I've had the honor to work with the President and with Valerie Chair and Alison Goolsbee on the advisory board as we've gone through the economic crisis. I'm now honored to lead your council on competitiveness and jobs.
It's all right, so that's President Obama. That's me at the year 2000 Commonwealth Club, Beware the Government Media Complex. Great speech, very important, seminal in the media. You listening to the show today are perhaps a very small group of people who even heard the speech, but it should live a very long time. We then heard Obama at a GE turbine plant in Schenectady, New York, introducing GE CEO Jeff Immelt. Jeff Immelt is a brilliant CEO, runs a great company, but I want to remind you of a few things. And I'll read you some of the blog comments to this announcement. Okay? GE has done more to move jobs overseas than most other companies in the U.S. GE paid zero in federal corporate income tax in 2010 because all of its income is outside of the U.S., yet the company is still based in the U.S. Making Immelt chairman of this group is an absolute travesty, someone wrote. You may not understand it, but one of the reasons the tax laws are so complicated, one of the reasons U.S. companies have moved overseas is because they don't have to pay U.S. taxes on their earnings in the overseas territories or the overseas locations. You don't understand that, but that's how tax law is written. Number two, I'll read the next comment. Is it time to buy GE stock? No, it's too late. It already jumped. Those on the inside knew what was happening at the dinner. Here's another one. Employees of GE now have to call their help desk in India to fix problems with their computers. Not fun to deal with people who can't understand you and they don't fix your problem. I guess this is what Immelt meant when he said it is patriotic to make your country more global. Obama is lining up his huge donations, paybacks from GE for 2012. Bring it on. Last November, we just had a practice run for taking our country back. Never buy GE and protest to Walmart and Sam's Club for selling GE products. I never purchase a GE product, and I hope you won't either, said somebody. This is why we need limited government, writes another. Because now, after all this nonsense has transpired as a result of expanded government, it makes sense to have business people with job creation. Well, anyway, you get the picture. GE equals government energy. GM equals government motors. Nationalized socialism at its very finest, someone wrote. So now we have a new phrase that Mr. Drudge can post. GE equals government energy. Matt, are you listening? Oh, Lord, here we are. Another post. You can bet the most corrupt news organization in the world, MSNBC, won't cover this, not only because they are in the bag for Obama, because they were are owned by GE. Two solid reasons you won't see Mad Cow talk about this one. But Michael Savage has been jamming at GE and the Obama administration since his inauguration. You'll bet Michael Savage will cover this corruption. Shall I read more? Someone wrote, beware the government, media, propulsion, financing, medical device, energy generation, railroad complex. Oh, I guess they've been listening to my show. Beware the government, media, propulsion, financing, medical device, energy generation, railroad complex. What a crock, writes another listener. Talk about crony capitalism. GE sold stuff to Iran long after they were supposed to stop. GE got special TARP bailouts. Immelt is a Republican like I am a Kenyan. GE has been the biggest cheerleader for Obama, both as a company and through it. NBC propaganda arm, through its propaganda arm, NBC. If I were a GE stockholder, I'd be voting this dope Nick out. He has killed what Welch built. He knows about competitiveness. He has successfully competed for crony capitalist in chief. Those are some of the comments on the appointment of Immelt. And let's pray that Immelt doesn't do any further melting down of the American economy. Cincinnati, Tim, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. The comparison between the GE and China deal and the Nazis and the IG Farben complex and Mercedes and everyone else is just kind of blowing me away here. I mean, it's like no one even remembers any of
See, wait, that's an interesting jump. Of course, you're not saying that GE is going to produce the equivalent of Zyklon B. I mean, we're not going there, are we?
No, not at this point. But at some point, at what point does the government basically supply the labor to the companies?
No. Well, look, you're raising frightening questions. We should all be very alarmed by this appointment because just from the point of view of a conflict of interest, you don't appoint the man who keeps his job at General Electric to the Council of Economic Advisors without any oversight whatsoever because the transfer of technology, which can be used in the military by the Chinese, is just overwhelmingly obvious to the most basic analyst. Is that correct or incorrect?
Oh, yes, sir. It's like when I believe it was Edsel Ford that made the apology for the whole thing of selling the technology to the Nazis, but that was in what, the 50s or early 60s?
You know, long after it was too late. But you remember was it Karl Marx who wrote it? I don't know which one of the early Bolsheviks wrote it. That when the last capitalist is hung, we'll hang him with the rope he manufactured for us. Was that not Karl Marx?
I'm not sure, sir. I'm not quite the historian that you are.
Tim, have you ever heard that phrase that I just announced on the Savage Nation? Have you ever heard that before?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, so I think it was Karl Marx who wrote that. He said in a speech, when the last capitalist is hung, we will hang him with the rope he manufactured. This, to me, goes to the heart of the transfer of technology to China. That's what I'm worried about, Tim. I'm an amateur student of history, but nevertheless, I'm a fairly good student of history.
Right. It's just very scary times, and it seems like you're the only person screaming this, like you're the voice in the wilderness, and nobody's listening.
It's exhausting. Tim, look, it's a Friday night. You know, you're in Cincinnati. It's, you know, it's early evening on a Friday. There are people doing other things, going to movies, dances, I don't know, cake sales. Who's really listening to this anymore, Tim? Do they care?
Not the majority of the people I talk to, because I've been screaming for 2 years. I just received notice that I'm losing my job on the 18th of next month. I've been screaming before the election to everyone in my office.
Tim, what kind of job did you have?
I run a contracting company for a cable provider, and that's.
And who are they transferring the job to? Who's getting the contract?
To someone who basically cut our price by 50%.
And are they using illegal aliens as laborers?
No, they are.
So how can they afford to provide the service at 50% of the cost that your company was providing it? Do you have any idea?
No, because I mean I've talked to my company owner at length this whole week, and we can't figure it out because the pay structure was set up, everything was slashed basically by 50%, and this is after.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it, but this is another sign of the horrible times we're living in, and you know we have to start at the outset. GE's Immelt is a brilliant CEO. On the other hand, Not everyone's very happy with the games he's been playing with taxation for the company and the transfer of technology. And the conflict of interest deserves a congressional investigation. It's that simple. Tim, let me cheer you up by sending you a copy of, unfortunately, Trickle Up Poverty. I'll be right back.
Savage.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm all dressed up for the dance.
It is another world than the one I grew up in. If it was the world I grew up in, I wouldn't be on the radio. I'd be a dentist or a ventriloquist. Oh, goodness. Where are we? Oh, listen to this. It was not Marx. It was Lenin. Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, the capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them. It's been, you know, altered over the years. In the 60s, I heard left-wing vermin saying, when we hang the last capitalists, we'll hang them with the rope that they manufactured. I've heard it said 100 different ways. Most of them are now in government, the communists that I ran into at the colleges. Most of them are now either governors or congressmen or policy wonks living on fat pensions or are on tenure, all those anti-capitalists. The capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. Now, what does that have to do, boys and girls, with Mr. Who visiting Mr. You? Mr. Who comes to visit Mr. You, and Mr. Who goes back smiling with advanced technology while his man in the White House appoints the head of General Electric to his economic council advisors, whatever commission it is, so that more technology can be sent to China with less interference by pesky congressmen. That's the whole story. I mean, what do you think? It has anything to do with other than money and profits? Never has, never will. The only difference is in the past, there was a firewall when it came to national security. And if people were caught transferring their issues of such importance, they were arrested by the FBI, tried, and in some cases electrocuted. But that hasn't happened in a very long time. And I doubt very much that it's going to happen in the very near future. So what would you like to talk about that's more cheerful than any of this? Is this a horribly depressing show? Is this a really depressing show? I don't know. Should I not have done this story about MSN? Let's see. Comcast, NBC, Obama, Who, Immelt, Avionics. Did you not want to hear any of this? Or what would you like to hear? I don't know what people want to hear anymore. I have a sense you want to hear. We played the speech from the year 2000, Beware the Government Media Complex. I know what we're going to do. Michael Savage Doo-Wop, as performed by Larry Chance and the Earls, was sent to me by a cousin of mine the other day, even though it occurred a few years ago. Do we have that ready to go, clip 15? The doo-wop song in its entirety.
Language, culture, savage nations on the air. Run, run, Michael Savage. Run, NATO chick.
He's all on the air.
Run, 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 NATO. Run, NATO.
He has a part of.
Run, 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 NATO. Run, NATO.
Michael's always there.
Language, culture, there. Savage nations on the air. Run, 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 NATO. Run, NATO chick.
He lost in
harmony. Run, 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 NATO. Run, NATO chick.
He blew up.
Borders, language, culture, the savage nations on the air. Run, run,
Michael Savage.
Run, NATO, chick,
Michael
Savage. Run, run, NATO, run, NATO, chick,
Wawa.
Run, 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 NATO, run, NATO, chick,
Wawa. Always
run, 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 NATO, run, NATO, chick, Wawa. Run, run.
What a country this was. What a great nation it was. Look what it's become. A sad sack of the world. These are great guys. I never met them, the Urals. 56. So Matt picked up Government Electric. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. It's more like Big Sis, but I don't really care. I'm like Lao Tzu, who said it doesn't matter who gets credit for what you say as long as what you're saying is heard. So I didn't invent it anyway. I just read it off a blog. So Matt, run with it. Government Electric, Matt Drudge just posted it. God bless him. Because basically, we in the conservative media, and there's only a few of us who count, are all on the correct side of things. We actually see what's going on, and we're trying to stop the meltdown of this country. And it doesn't really matter who gets credit at this point. It doesn't matter. What's the difference? So Government Electric is excellent, Matt. That goes along with Big Sis. Did Obama dye his gray hair away? But I think I'm going to get even mad. I'm going to start just reading headlines from your website like Rush does every day without crediting you. No, I don't. I try not to do it because I don't want to insult him. His gray hair went away. I don't like hair dye. I don't use it myself. Hollywood, Steve Jobs, and Donald Trump helped Rahm Emanuel haul in $10 million. Yeah, but Trump only gave him $50,000, so I'm not going to be angry at Trump. He didn't give him a lot of money. $50,000, you know what that is? Like the cost of toothpicks. At Mar-a-Lago. It's like 1 year's toothpick supply is probably more than $50,000 at Mar-a-Lago, the kind of toothpicks. Schmidt to sell $335 million of Google shares. Schmidt. Yes, sir, Mr. Schmidt. Mr. Schmidt will sell the shares. Yeah, for we sell the shares. We go to Austria. We buy little cuckoo clocks. We're going to buy a new yacht with our $335 million in Google share. And then we go, and we're going to buy a new Swiss Chalet. God, I'm getting goofy already. What a couple of weeks this has been since New Year, man. I'm getting whacked out from this. I only took one day off, and I was to fly for 6.5 hours with General Electric engines. By the way, great engines. Very, very good engines. They tell me they're in the A4 Skyhawk or whatever. With millions of hours, I felt much better as I looked 8 miles down to the ground and saw Area 51. They always have to divert. There's this big swath in the desert of Nevada. The pilots always divert like 800 miles. They always swing like hundreds of miles away from it. And you say to the pilots, why are we abruptly swinging so far away? It's a restricted zone. It's Area 51. Don't even want to go there. Only Midnight Radio talks about that area. God only knows what's going on in Area 51. I never want to go there, okay? Don't want to know the secret. I never want to go near it. In fact, the pilot told me once that if his plane was, God forbid, in trouble, they're not even allowed to crash land in Area 51. Would you believe this? You just have to crash. Yes. It's the Overnight Show with Michael Savage. We're entering a new zone on the Savage Nation, a zone of dumpsters and strange areas in America where birds fall out of the sky and fish continue to die, where the seals swim as fast as they can to get away and elephants go to their burial grounds, where the lox is not fresh, where the fish is only frozen, where the jello comes in molds from Washington, D.C., where the men are gray from working within dark, cold corridors 24/7. Where Mr. Schmidt sells his stock in the middle of the night. Where Mr. Immelt from Government Electric comes to visit in the middle of the night. Where Mr. Kissinger holds private soirees in the middle of the night. Yes, it's all in Area 51. Special events. And it's not the Bohemian Club. It's not the Redwoods, boys and girls. It's where the fish fall out of the sky.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Today is the government media complex growing more complex. Way back in the year 2000, I was honored to be invited to the Commonwealth Club, one of the few conservatives that has been invited there, and I gave a speech entitled, Beware the Government Media Complex. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, what's the government media complex? Well, let's boil it down to today. Obama, NBC. NBC, Jeff Immelt. Obama, NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, Jeff Immelt, General Electric, and China. What does that mean? Well, the General Electric CEO, Jeff Immelt, was named one of Obama's czars today. It's interesting that Immelt has been made head of Obama's new Jobs and Competitiveness Board. This comes on the heels of the announcement of a new $2 billion deal between GE and China. Well, that sounds good for America, right? Well, 2 days ago, the government, meaning under Obama, approved the merger of Comcast with NBC. That's number one. Number two, the very same Jeff Immelt will be overseeing the economy for Obama, but who's going to be overseeing GE? What I fear is that GE will want to share technology with China, and they'll go to the government for the approval, and the government is them. So, do you fear this appointment is payback for NBC and MSNBC's favorable treatment of Obama? And how will GE benefit from Immelt's new position? This is a very important question. The government media complex grows more complex. And I warned you about this 10 years ago in my speech at the Commonwealth Club. The questions today are, how will NBC and MSNBC now reward Obama? They can't be even more slavishly worshiping, can they? What else has Savage correctly predicted? Well, I'll let you figure that one out on the Savage Nation. Here's another one in the news. A British newspaper, very liberal, The Guardian, which is the left-wing paper, covered Michael Savage. It said the right words, seeing red over China. And it said, Michael Savage and others united in their disgust at President Obama's conduct of diplomacy with Hu Jintao. They're trying to now spin this that I was wrong, so they quote me. And she says, Michael Savage was also unimpressed by the administration's kowtowing to the regime that is mocking us, he said. And here's what Michael Savage said. Well, the president of China is here. He's basically mocking the United States. He's used his junkyard dog, Kim Jong-il, to threaten us. That's the fellow from North Korea, for those of you who don't know who he is. He unveiled a stealth fighter plane just as our Secretary of Defense was visiting. He attacked our own currency yesterday by saying a dollar-based system is a thing of the past. Yet here he comes to the U.S. yesterday and Obama genuflexed to him, close quote. I don't know what's wrong with that. I agree with every word I said. Then she goes on and says, Savage stopped short of looking to military solutions to deal with the Chinese threat. However, he said, you know, you certainly don't want to start a war with China over trade. But they've started a war with us. They're trading us into the poorhouse. It is the favorable conditions, she wrote, that enabled China's huge trade surplus that particularly bothered Savage. And then he went on attacking lawyers. Savage said he has a method of straightening things out. He says, now I would say that we could straighten out America's economic problems rapidly. Donald Trump actually agreed with me on one principal method, which is establish a 20% tariff immediately on all Chinese goods, overnight, bingo, 20%. She writes, well, it's an approach that many people might be happy to try, though they might not be so happy if China stopped buying up our debt. But you know, you certainly don't want to start a war with China over trade. I don't know whether she's suggesting we should start a war with China over trade. Do you, Beowulf? I can't figure out what she's saying. We got to do something, though, otherwise we're finished. I see nothing wrong in what I said. 1-800-449-8255. Well, the other big news other than China is the pornography on MTV. We've been warning you about the government media complex. I would say the government pornography complex is just as dangerous. And Viacom presents MTV with Sex at 15. And one of the young sluts on the show says it's what teens are doing. Well, some teens are doing it. Taco Bell has pulled ads from it. Parents Television Council calls for a federal investigation into Skins. Facing a $1.6 billion shortfall, San Francisco, the city I love to hate, is paying its employees $170 million in bonuses. Cops and firemen, the honest ones, the honest guys, those who don't steal for a living. Yes, but he can't produce it. Last week he said he can produce it. This week he said he can't produce it. And the band played on. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Hollywood and jobs and Trump helped Rahm Emanuel haul in $10 million. I didn't know that. Gee, Donald Trump didn't tell me that. I wonder why not. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you go to my website, which is, I don't even know what it is anymore. What is my website? Oh, it's michaelsavage.com. I just said that. There's a good story. South Korean special forces stormed a ship that was taken over by Somali Muslim pirates. They killed all the pirates and rescued the ship. Yes, thank God. They rescued all 21 crew members and killed 8 Muslim hijackers, pirates. What happened to our special forces? What's the good of all the training when you have a commander in grief like this? The U.S. government has admitted that they poisoned hundreds or thousands of birds. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Remember the birds that fell out of the sky? Obama toasts China while they steal, copy, and cheat the United States. Why the blackballing of Michael Savage? Welfare tab for kids of illegals, $600 million in L.A. County alone. Combat troops being drugged to death by big pharmaceuticals. 1 million foreigners landed U.S. jobs in 2008 to 2010. Did you know that? ISA to public. Which regulations hurt us? The damage has already begun from Obamacare. This is all up on michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the bottom and speed it up. How about a Michael Savage doo-wop by the Earls? Interesting song, and you can hear it. If you're in the mood for some pleasure, you can see a fish thief who was borscht belted in Brooklyn. What do I mean by that? A bagel-brained bandit ran into a Jewish deli in Brooklyn and robbed a dozen packages of smoked salmon, put him in his pants. But he got caught, and a few of the religious Jews smeared him, gave him a good beating before he got out of the door. So the headline is, Fish Thief Borscht Belted in Brooklyn. Who says Jews can't fight? That's it for the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is our 8th meeting. Together we've shown that the United States and China, when we cooperate, can
receive. You give them and you get nothing in return. All right, we heard it all before. They take and give nothing back. They copy, cheat, and steal. And, of course, we're supposed to look the other way because we're told to think a certain way. And, I mean, you could tell jokes about it, such as, who's arrived? That's right, who's arrived? That's what I just said, who's arrived? Yes, who's arrived? When did who arrive? I just said did who arrive. But, you know, we can joke about it all day long. The fact of the matter is they're certainly a world power. We know that since they set off their first hydrogen bomb with a little help from their Russian friends who had a little help from the Rosenbergs, our own domestic spies back in the 1950s. The Rosenbergs stole atomic secrets and shared them with Communist Russia. Communist Russia shared them with Communist China. You have to understand the lineage and the DNA of China in the modern times. But there's another story that's making the rounds that I think is worth talking about. Eric Holder, the questionable, controversial attorney general, is glowing over the arrest of 100 U.S. mobsters. A certain question rises to the surface with Eric Holder and the arrest of 100 U.S. mobsters. All of them are Italian, are of Italian descent. And yet we know for a fact that not all mobsters are of Italian descent. For example, why were there no arrests of Asian gangsters? Why were there no arrests of the Mexican mafia in the United States of America? Why is it that we read that the FBI focused on 110 organized crime figures in the New York area in sweeping action focused primarily on the Colombo and Gambino crime families? Why is there no mention of the individuals with tattoos on their necks and ears that are ranging across America with machine guns that the cops are even afraid to look at? Why is there no talk about any Asian gangsters in the United States of America and being raided by the FBI? Why is it, again, that we're hearing names such as Jojo Carrazzo or Bartolino Vernacci? Or why is it Thomas Lafrati or Menaccio? It's not. I'm not saying these are wonderful people, nor am I saying they shouldn't have been arrested. The only question I'm asking is, why is it limited only to the United States Mafia? Why is it? I don't understand this. Why is this going on? And I'd like to know why Holder doesn't use the same tactics in the hoods of America to bring down all the gangbangers. What's wrong with that? Would that be considered profiling? How about that? Am I asking an inappropriate question? The fact of the matter is, nobody glorifies what gangsters do. It's a terrible situation. But once again, why is there no talk of the arrest of these other gangs in the United States of America, whether they be inner city gangs, or as I say, the illegal alien mafia gangs, or the Asian gangs? We all know they exist. I'm not just saying something you never heard of. The answer is pretty clear, and it's a frightening answer in its own way. This is a myopic administration on every level and in every department. Virginia Diedrich, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I think, you know, it's because the mafia itself is on decline. You know, they have to get informants, they have to get evidence from certain people, and the Latin gangs and the other gangs are just a little more tightly run right now.
Okay, that makes sense. In other words, it's all based upon turncoats and rats. Is that it?
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, someone from inside has to give up everyone else. And I think just right.
I mean, I watch enough gangster movies to say I agree with you. But this is sort of a strange story because, you know, they're glorifying the arrest of basically old line Italian family, gangster families, so to speak. And you're saying it's all because they've gotten soft, really, is what you're implying, that their discipline is gone.
I really think they've lost. And be honest, in black gangs and Latin gangs, there's not this sense of love and loyalty. Everyone is completely expendable.
Well, I'm sorry, everybody is completely what, Diedrich?
Expendable. They can be let go with no heart at all.
No, I don't know. What you're saying is, what if they so much as give up any one of their secret knowledge, it's their whole family gets wiped out. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you look at the crime rates in certain communities, I mean, all these drive-bys are not happening just by happenstance. I mean, something is causing them. They really want to kill these people for a reason. And sometimes it's founded, sometimes it's unfounded, but the lack of respect of life is, I think, looked at differently.
Well, I think you make a very good point, Diedrich. And there's nothing that we, the civilians sitting on the outside, can say other than, why now would Eric Holder do such an arrest of 100 U.S. mobsters, saying it's the largest mafia roundup in history? That's the question that we're all raising. I mean, no one has sympathy for organized crime, but the question is, why is it so highly focused on the Italians rather than the other gangs that have emerged in the United States? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
That's right.
And I think you came up with the answer. It's because they ratted each other out. That's why. All right. That's an interesting call. Chicago, Chris, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, when I saw Holder on TV with his chest sticking out as if he's done something, it angered me to see him bring in 100-year-old wise guys in oxygen tanks. Meanwhile, imams are spewing hate from mosques. Gangbangers are walking the streets shooting civilians. I'm not going to defend organized crime at all, but one thing I will say is their neighborhoods, back in the days, I don't know about now, but they kept it clean. You can walk your kids down the street. They kept their crime within the family. It wasn't going out shooting a grandmother or, like in San Francisco, a husband and wife in front of a theater in a drive-by shooting.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. There's a lot of people who have very mixed feelings about this this story, which is why I raised it to begin with. I grew up in New York City in a certain time when you could go down Mulberry Street and leave your car unlocked during Christmas with presents in the back seat, and nobody would rob the presents out of the car. And everybody knew why, because the streets were protected, let us say, by street patrols of a certain kind. Yep, it's a different world. I understand that. I worry more about gangs from other countries than I do about homemade American gangs for some strange reason. All right, Stockton, California. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I'd ask one more question. Why weren't there any arrests made in Chicago?
You know, you mean of any gangsters, only New York?
Yes. Why wasn't Chicago included in any of this?
Well, because Rahm Emanuel likes deep dish pizza. You know, you don't want to knock out the pizzerias.
Say it's Obama's associates and Eric Holder's backyard. That's why. And they're making sure they're eliminating competition.
Is that what it is?
I would think. But I agree with you.
Do you find it odd that on the eve of the arrival of the biggest gang in the world, the Chinese Communist gang, I mean, shall I put it in those terms? There's no freedom of expression in China. There's no dissidents allowed. There's no freedom at all. It's just the freedom to build and buy. How is it that there's a discussion? Why is this arrest occurring on the eve of the arrival of who fundamentally is a gang leader? Is that an inappropriate comment? Do you feel that that'll put back U.S.-China relations to say a thing like that? Well, I know it'll answer that question. So let's get back to good old xenophobia here and talk about the xenophobia. And who do you blame most for China's stealing, copying, and cheating that is going on right now?
Savage.
You know, the mainstream media, which I call the midstream media, is focusing on Obama and China. But, you know, in what way? They're just glossing it over. They're stuccoing it over. But Iran is still a major problem, right? And the problem with Iran and its nuclear intentions is being ignored by the talking heads out there. Joining us now with an exclusive update on the problem with Iran is Eric Stackelback.
Michael, it's always a pleasure to be here. And you know, today at West Point up in New York, there's a very interesting ceremony going on. Basically, we have 18 of the hostages from the 1979 Iranian Revolution, where the U.S. Embassy was seized there by Iranian jihadis during the Iranian Revolution. They were held for 444 days. Now it's 30 years later after their release, and 18 of them are at West Point along with their families for a reunion ceremony. Now, it was a pretty stirring scene, Michael. I just watched the images here, and they got a standing ovation, I believe, from 4,400 Army cadets gave these brave Americans who were hostages in the clutches of the Iranian regime for 444 days. They received a standing ovation at West Point, released 30 years ago. Unbelievable how time flies, and unbelievable, Michael, 30 years of Iranian aggression towards the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it all kicked off with the hostage crisis in 79, but you move on through the 1980s. We had the 1983 Marine Barracks bombing in Beirut, killed 243 U.S. Marines. That was an Iranian-planned attack. We had other bombings against U.S. assets, kidnappings in Lebanon. Again, Iranian fingerprints all over them. In 1996, we had the Khobar Towers bombing in Saudi Arabia. 18 U.S. servicemen killed, Iranian fingerprints once again on that attack, and the former FBI director, Louis Free, said as much. Iran was behind this attack. Yet we've never, ever struck back against Iran in any significant way.
Unbelievable.
Now we have Iran once again acting through their proxies against Israel, against the U.S. in Iraq and Afghanistan, helping to kill U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Which brings me, this is obviously a dangerous regime that is much more than a threat just to Israel and to its Arab neighbors, who, by the way, the Arab neighbors, Michael, are petrified of this looming Iranian nuclear weapon. They are a direct threat to the United States, which brings me to the WikiLeaks documents that were leaked over the past month. A new document that just emerged this week, Michael, says that Iran is capable, has the technological know-how to produce a nuclear bomb.
What?
Now, this is scary, obviously, on several levels. This is a jihadist apocalyptic regime that doesn't recognize the theory of mutually assured destruction. They're all about martyrdom and taking out Tel Aviv, taking out D.C. for the greater good of Islam. Iran, the regime, believes that they can weather a nuclear attack. They can weather a nuclear retaliation. If they sacrifice 20 million young Iranians, hey, big deal. There'll be 50, 60 million more of us still left over to usher us into a new Islamic age. So this is the philosophy there. So to have the WikiLeaks document say that Iran is there, they have the technological know-how, is disturbing to say the least, and it echoes a conversation I had just last week, Michael, here at the CBN Bureau in Washington, D.C. I had a rare opportunity to sit down with a former deputy director of Israel's Mossad Intelligence Service.
Really?
Now, the Mossad obviously is legendary for some of their exploits over the years. You think of the Entebbe raid, for one, in 1975, and so many exploits that the Mossad has carried out. Most recently, last year, we had an uproar when Mossad agents killed a Hamas leader in a hotel in Dubai. They're the best in the business, the Mossad Intelligence Service, and to say they're plugged in throughout the Middle East is an understatement. So I sat down with this former senior Mossad official, Mossad insider by the name of Ilan Mizrahi. We had a fascinating discussion, Michael, and of course, topic number one on the plate was Iran. And this is what he told me. Iran, in his view, won't be able to develop a nuclear weapon in the year 2011, although technologically, as the WikiLeaks document showed, they know how to do it.
All right.
Now, the outgoing director of the Mossad recently said that he didn't believe the Iranians would have a nuclear bomb before 2015. But Mizrahi said, you know, not so fast. There's nothing etched in stone. We could have a breakout all of a sudden with Iran in 2012 declaring they have a weapon. As we've seen from some of the various intelligence estimates with our own intelligence agencies over the years, no one is perfect when it comes to estimating these kinds of events. So Mizrahi said that, look, it could be before 2015. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the same recently last week. He said, look, I don't agree with a 2015 estimate. I believe that the Israeli leadership thinks the breakout date for the Iranians of weaponization is closer.
Oh, my God.
But according to this former senior Mossad official, Michael, Ilan Mizrahi, the Iranian supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, has yet to make the decision whether he wants to enrich enough uranium to make a nuclear bomb. That's very interesting. Khamenei must be thinking of the repercussions. If Iran does come out and say, yes, we have the bomb, Khamenei is probably concerned about the repercussions of that. In my mind, he holds the trump card once he does that, and Iran has the trump card. Once they do that, they can hold the entire Middle East and the U.S. hostage. Basically, it's blackmail. They have the ultimate deterrent. The next time Hezbollah or Hamas strikes out against Israel, if Israel wants to retaliate, Iran can say, we have a nuclear bomb. And if you dare bomb Beirut, bomb southern Lebanon, do an incursion into Gaza, we will nuke Tel Aviv. That's the kind of trump card the Iranians are going to have once they go nuclear.
Exactly.
And say Hezbollah carries out an attack on American soil, which is not outside the realm of possibility. If we move to retaliate, does Iran once again say, And to say that Iran, look, doesn't have an intercontinental missile capability right now, okay, they don't. But it's not beyond the pale of possibility that Iran will indeed acquire an intercontinental capability from their allies in Russia and China down the road. So we have a blackmail-type situation, but Ilan Mizrahi, the former deputy director of Israel's Mossad, told me that there is some friction, and this is the encouraging part, I guess, Michael. There is some friction between the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and the supreme leader, Khamenei.
Why do you say that?
Apparently, the clerics in Iran, people like Khamenei, their feathers are a bit ruffled that Ahmadinejad talks so frequently about religious issues. Now, remember, the supreme leader is the ultimate authority in Iran. Ahmadinejad is the president. He's the public face. But the supreme leader, at the end of the day, calls the shots. But Ahmadinejad is a true, true, zealous, apocalyptic believer who talks about the Mahdi constantly, says his government is directed daily by the Islamic Messiah, what they call the Mahdi. They believe that the Mahdi is going to return soon and wipe out the Christians and Jews and impose an Islamic state upon the world. And Ahmadinejad talks about this frequently, and according to this former Mossad official, Khamenei is saying, look, scale it back. You're not a mullah. You're not an imam. Let us talk about those kinds of issues. Ahmadinejad may have a trump card here.
What is that?
According to this former Mossad official, Ahmadinejad has a very strong grip on the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. Now, the Revolutionary Guards, Michael, I talked to you about them just a few weeks ago when I interviewed a former member of the Guards in an exclusive on CBN News, sat down with him for about an hour, and he took me inside how they operate. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards are the most powerful force, the true power broker in Iran. They're a fearsome military force. They have ground, air, and naval capabilities, and they're involved in everything from domestic spying to international terrorism. You know, Michael, they even have a multi-billion-dollar business empire, and they have a hand in Iran's economy. So the Revolutionary Guards are the vanguard in that country. They are the ones who prop up that regime. If they took their support away from the mullahs, that regime would collapse. The Revolutionary Guards are the vanguards, the guardians of that regime. And to hear that Ahmadinejad has a strong grip on the guards is very, very troubling.
Why?
Because that means a lot of the guards, you know, the guards are broken into two camps. You have the true believers, the true, some of them are fat and happy, they just like the money. And others, the more influential half of the Revolutionary Guards, are guys who are true apocalyptic believers. And according to this Israeli official, former Israeli intelligence official from the Mossad, they are overestimating Iran's power, the Revolutionary Guards. They think they're ready to challenge the U.S. right now. Now, the guards and the Iranian regime, meaning the supreme leader, the guards hate America and they want to take them on right now. Khamenei, the supreme leader, also hates America, but he fears America and he knows what America is capable of doing under, not this leadership, under President Obama, but if the right leadership, if there's strong leadership, we won't take any guff. And Khamenei knows that. So you have that kind of dynamic there with the Revolutionary Guards. Now, to have them being the true power brokers and have Ahmadinejad have such a strong grip on them does not bode well.
Right, right, right.
I believe that in the next few years, and I think sooner rather than later, we're going to have a big surprise. And I believe Iran will break out unless they are dealt with before that point. Without a doubt right now, sanctions have hurt Iran. These sanctions have been effective. They've hurt Iran economically. And also this Stuxnet computer virus, not to get too inside baseball, but this is a big story, and the listeners have probably heard about it, a major computer virus that apparently the U.S. and Israel worked on together, a really ingenious program, has infected Iran's nuclear facilities. And apparently it may have set their nuclear weapons program back by 2 years.
Hmm.
That's a big deal. It's called Stuxnet. It was this ingenious computer worm that out of nowhere infected Iran's nuclear facilities and really caused a lot of problems. Although Stuxnet and sanctions have had an effect, I would not be surprised to see Iran throw the world for a loop one day. We wake up, turn on the news, boom, Iran just conducted a nuclear test. I would not be surprised. to see that. Yes, the program has been set back, thanks to sanctions, thanks to Stuxnet, but these are just temporary fixes, and I think everyone knows it. We're kicking the can down the road. It might be 2 or 3 years. That's great. But Iran will not stop. They are driven. This is an apocalyptic mission for the Iranian regime. It is their divine right from Allah to have nuclear weapons. So it's great that we have these quick fixes. It's great. But at the end of the day, they're not going to stop. And when you have regimes like the Pakistanis, like North Korea, Russia, China, assisting them in various aspects of a nuclear weapons program, providing technology, let's face it, we're going to have to deal with this sooner or later. I don't believe this administration is going to deal with it in any meaningful way, obviously not militarily. I believe that Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel is the right man at the right time. I think he's there for a reason. And I think he eventually is going to have to confront this Iranian nuclear program.
Thanks for the report, Eric.
Michael, thanks again. Always a pleasure. And remember, you can catch my show, Stackelbeck on Terror. Best place to watch it, cbnnews.com. You can watch it online. Thanks again.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I decided to spend a good portion of the rest of my time on Earth defending, ending lab testing on chimpanzees. Let me be very blunt with you. I want to end all lab testing on chimpanzees, and I'm going to explain why. Let me take us back to where we are. The Islamofascists are dehumanizing the world. By killing even their own co-religionists with such brutality and a lack of humanity, many of us are starting to become less and less human on this planet. And in the midst of fighting an Islamo-fascist enemy that treats its victims less than human, we must remember and reaffirm our own humanity. We must remember that we have a responsibility to the innocent animals that God has placed on this earth. And because of that, and because of the fact that technology has eliminated the need for lab testing on chimpanzees, I am going to work to end such cruel and inhumane testing immediately. Now, I know there are others who have been working on this for ages, but I'm going to join them. You see, chimpanzees have a similar range of emotions to humans. Chimps feel themselves being strapped to a gurney. They feel when they're being tortured in a lab. They feel when they're being given diseases. They can also see their mates and friends being tortured in front of their eyes in laboratories, because all you got to do is go into a lab and hear them screaming out as their mate or their family or their friends are strapped to a gurney and tortured by these sick doctors. I say end all animal experiments on chimpanzees now. Now you say, Savage, where is this coming from all of a sudden? Is this something new? How come you're all of a sudden concerned about chimpanzees? In a way, it's new, and in a way, it's old. I began as a graduate student a long time ago. In fact, I don't know if I told you the story, but I lost a fellowship in 1968 in a laboratory because I wouldn't kill lab animals. Let me take you back there for a minute. In case you have the wrong impression of me, you may as well get the right impression of me. I think it was 1968, and I went back to graduate school, somewhat of an adult at the time, and I was working in a pharmacology laboratory. I won't say which university, which I really detested doing, because I heard my ancestors speaking to me and saying, "You've come this far in life to clean rat feces?" But what I couldn't do was, I didn't want to kill even the rats, I wouldn't kill them. So here was what happened. I had no money. I was a young graduate student, and I had a $300 a month stipend. $300 a month was enough to live on in those days. I had nothing else. I just arrived in this faraway place with my then girlfriend, and the lab guy who brought me out there said, "Here's the ultimatum that you have. You either kill the animals like you're supposed to, or I'm pulling your fellowship." I said, "Well, go ahead and pull my fellowship because I'm not killing animals." And I left the lab, and I had to wander around, and I wound up in a botany laboratory, and that's when I moved into botany because I didn't think I'd have to kill animals. But the point I'm making is we have an obligation to be good shepherds to our animal friends. And chimpanzees, of all the animals, of all of them, they are so close to us genetically. There's only a few enzymatic differences between us and chimps. I know many of you find it offensive because you don't even understand what I'm saying to you, but the truth is they're very closely related to us. The important thing to know is that they have a full range of emotions. Their bad luck, here's their bad luck. The bad luck for chimps is that they get the same disease as we do. And because they get the same disease as we do, the chimps are often substituted for humans in laboratories. So they're tortured by these sadistic so-called scientists for medical research. Now, I'm not against medical research, but I understand that with the advent of the computer and modeling, computer modeling, there's no need to do this to chimpanzees at all. And if you go into a laboratory, as I say, and you see what they do to chimpanzees, I think most of you would agree with me, your stomach would turn. When they take out one of the family members or friends of a chimpanzee, you say they don't know what's going on, listen to them scream in pain and go crazy as they watch their brother, their uncle, their cousin, or their girlfriend being strapped to a gurney by a sadist in a white coat. And as you hear their friend struggling to free themselves from the drugs and the chains to the gurney, believe me, they have the same range of emotions. It would be like experimenting on a human being by Dr. Mengele, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I wouldn't apply the same to a rat. I wouldn't apply the same to a rabbit. I would apply this concept to a chimpanzee owing to the close similarity between the chimpanzee and the human being. So that's one of the topics I really do want to talk about, which is ending animal testing on chimpanzees. And if you think this is an odd thing for a conservative talk show host to be talking about, you're right, because I'm not a conservative talk show host.